Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Facing Your Fears with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio Show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing three other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in New Orleans. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Willis, Jr. She sits on the NAACP Executive Committee. She is the former chairperson for Justice for Girls SCLC New Orleans Chapter. She is the newly elected Universal Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary Director. She is the mother of two daughters and four beautiful grandchildren. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Line of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all our listeners on today's show. Yes, this is your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, along with our co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, out of Miami, Florida. Our special guest today is Mr. Larry Haynes from right here in the Crescent City of New Orleans, Louisiana. Mr. Haynes is a licensed clinical social worker who provides currently conscious individuals, groups, and family therapy. He will be focusing on Black relationships and affects historical trauma. Has twisted the mind, he says, in his own words, he will be saying that these things twisted the minds of Black people. He will explain the foundation, the stages, and the variables that may be neglected, negotiated within a relationship. He will share 11 urges of men. Tune in, stay tuned in on this awesome, amazing informational episode. And remember, listeners, you too can join in on this awesome conversation by pressing the number one on your phone. If you have any questions or comments, I just want to share your experience on today's topic of mispronunciation of some of the words. My glasses glided. They're in the studio. The words are, the stream is not coming clearly on today. But good afternoon to our special guest, Mr. Larry Haynes. Mr. Haynes, are you in the studio? I'm afraid I think we lost our special guest. I'm trying to see where he went at this time, co-host. I'm searching for him at this time. Evidently, he has left the studio, listeners, but we'll be looking for him to come back in the studio shortly. Until then, let's have our opening prayer by our co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening and greetings, each and every person that is connected this evening to the Facing Your Fears radio talk show. Father, we thank you once more and again. We praise you. Lord God, we honor you today. We lift you up and we continue to magnify your name. In spite of all the things that are going on in the world, we are so grateful today and so humbly thankful that just because things have changed does not mean that the God that remains the same has changed. We thank him today for him forever being the same. We thank him for his love, for his power today. And we thank him that he's able to reach all over the world. You write down the name of Jesus to lay your nail-scarred hands upon all that's affected by this coronavirus. This coronavirus did not shake you. It did not shock you. You are not surprised by it. You knew the very day and the very hour that this disease would hit the world. And you're still God in spite of coronavirus. God, we ask you to touch those that are in hospitals right now. Oh, God, we ask you to touch those, oh, Lord, the families that are grieving, going through bereavement, Lord God, because they have lost loved ones. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to touch those, Lord God, that are dealing with the symptoms and in and out of the hospital on respirators, Lord. In spite of everything, God, you are still God. And we thank you today for the power of who you are. You are your word, and your word is you. And we thank you for this too shall pass. What's greater than you? Nothing. What's more powerful than you? Nothing. God, I pray you touch the hearts of the people and the minds. Oh, God, draw them closer to you that they would trust and depend on you because there is no failure in you. In you, Lord God, no matter how dark it may look, you are our light and our salvation. You are our strength. And I thank you today, even for our speaker, Mr. Hayes, as you bless him to come forth on this line and share information about his topic that will right now bless, encourage, uplift, and inspire our listeners today. In Jesus' name we thank you as you also touch our host and co-host. Amen, amen, and amen.
We thank our co-host for that awesome prayer, and I'm going to check again and see if Mr. Larry Haynes have joined us back in the studio. Mr. Haynes, good afternoon to you.
Hey, how are you doing? And thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we're blessed that you're all safe and your peers ready to talk. So can you give us a brief bio about yourself as before we go into our topic for today?
Yes, I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I've been practicing therapy for 28 years now. I focus on cultural competent therapy. And I work with persons who are experiencing some type of change in their life. And the thing that we have to always fashion in is this, that therapy simply means to remember, to help people to remember how did they get to where they are.
Thank you so very much. Remember, listeners, that today's topic is historical Black relationship as our special guest. To walk us through the relationships and talk about the facts and the motivations and the values and the feelings in reference to historical Black people and the relationships that they're having, that we have in the world today. And at this time, we're going to turn the turn the show over to our special guest as we come forward and begin the emphasis on his theme for today.
What I wanted to is this, that I think in a major part of Black relationships and Black people since we came to this continent, we had to first being enslaved, that from enslavement, we went to Reconstruction. From Reconstruction, Jim Crow. From Jim Crow, separate but equal segregation. Then we moved towards civil rights movements and Black power movements, which were to stimulate some sense of freedom within us. But the fact still remains that through each one of these movements, fear was definitely stimulated within them. And when we talk about fear, this is my thesis. I think that two things motivate people, fear, and the major concern with fear is this, that fear tends to be unpredictable, uncontrollable, unsustainable, and could be chronic. So therefore, if we are constantly dealing with fear and trauma, then it twists our mind. And one thing that must happen if our minds are twisted, we need to have our minds realigned. And that comes through what I call trauma therapy, because the thing that we have to deal with is this, that whenever we're dealing with fear, it tends to paralyze us and puts us in a state that we don't know what to do, how to do it. All we know that we want to overcome it and accommodate whatever request that's being made of us. And whenever we are constantly accommodating the needs of others and denying our own, just consistently puts us in a state of flux where we don't know what's going to happen to us, and we constantly surrender our power and effort to do what we think would keep us out of harm's way.
All right, listeners. You are still tuned in to Faith in Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Dennis Long Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doris Smith. You too can join in on this awesome and this informative topic for today, and that is historical black relationships. As our special guest, Mr. Larry Hayes, walk us down and give us facts within a relationship, the foundation of relationships, and many other facts. Some of the possible reasons one get involved in a relationship are based on feelings, as he was explaining a few minutes ago, also the observations, and how request needs can impact a relationship. As you continue with us on today, we want to just ask everyone to please stay tuned in and be prayerful and mindful that keep in mind that our nation is in turmoil now, and stay prayerful as we continue this radio talk show, hoping that it would bring encouragement and an inspiration to someone out there who's listening. Okay, we're going to hear now go back to our co-host and the next voice you hear. Yield to our special guest. And the next time we yield to come back into the studio, we'll have our co-host, if she has any questions or comments for our special guest Larry Hayes. You can continue at this time.
Okay. I feel the foundation of every relationship are communication, caring, and commitment. And there are stages of relationships that one goes through when they first meet someone and attempting to get to know the person that they have some type of interest in. Those stages are the casual stage, the companionship stage, the friendship stage, the romantic love stage, and the committed love stage. Now, in the casual stages, when we are doing our initial interview, we're asking the person's name, trying to get a history of how the person is, finding out if the person has been married, they're single, if they have children, those type of things, what type of work they do, just getting background information and deciding if this person is someone that we feel could fit in our hands, that we could get along with, and we feel that could bring us some type of joy. And the other piece that I look at is this. Whenever we are attempting to choose a friend or a partner, we want someone who's good for us, not necessarily one who we're good for. Now, in the next stage, the companionship stage, is when we attempt to bring the person out and show them or introduce them to our families, friends, and alike. And then I use this with the horse race, where we have the show, place, and win. Some people we could show them to other people, and they're just to be seen with. And then there's those who we could bring to certain places but can't bring everywhere. Then there's the winner that we tend to bring and introduce to our family and to our mothers and let them give their assessment of the person that we choose to date or to have some type of interest in. The friendship stage is when we tend to develop some type of trust in the person, where we feel that we could talk to the person and share who we are and certain intimate concerns that we may have. Now, the thing that's always important for us to remember, that confidence is only as good as the place where you choose to leave it. So that means that we tend to choose who we trust, and we tend to have reasons that we feel that we could trust someone and that we can't trust some person. But I find if we share something with the person that we feel we want them to not to share with anyone else, and they do, then we hold back because of, I think, some of the things that's still associated with some of the historical trauma that we've gone through in our lifetime. Now, the other piece that we have to deal with is there's what's called epigenetics. Epigenetics means that we inherit in our DNA the same trauma of our ancestors. The trauma that our ancestors went through being enslaved, the trauma that we went through with Reconstruction, And I think this is where it started, where they put in barriers that prevented us from voting or cut down our desire to vote because we were lynched if we attempted to. And that happened all the way to the 60s, and still is happening. There's a record in 2017 where two brothers were lynched, one in his front yard in the field, but the one in his front yard, they I guess the Klan or whomever racist group had dared the family to take him or cut him down from the tree. So we still fear, like I said, is something that is unpredictable, uncontrollable. It could be chronic and unsustainable. And if we deal with those issues, think about how it's traumatized us over such a long period of time and how it can affect our relationships. The fourth part of the types of relationships, romantic love, where we become committed. And black relationships and black marriages has been part of our time on this earth. We always enjoyed and took part in marriage, where we're committed to one another. When we were enslaved, we jumped the broom. Now we have these elaborate one-day marriages and our weddings and lock ourselves together. And up until the 50s or 60s, we didn't divorce one another. We were always there together and very supportive of one another. And then the committed love, where we are really committed to one person, and we spend our life with that one person, raise children. And the thing that we have to always look at as black people is that we judge the fruit of just the tree by the fruit that it bears. So it's important that we spend and give a lot of time and energy to our children, that given life circumstances as they are right now, our children are in the hands of persons who are educating them, and they spend a lot of time here in New Orleans. I know every school in New Orleans is chartered, and there's no set time for school to let out or for school to begin. And that puts a lot of pressure on families. And right now with the virus, the coronavirus, if you don't have a computer, it's pretty difficult for you to continue your education online. So that in itself is traumatic for many. And the fear that's being caused by the virus and how it has had major effects upon the life of many who here in New Orleans, where our economy is based on tourism, many people have been laid off. Some have been laid off, told they've been being laid off for 3 months. So think about what that does to a family, and the family is concerned about taking care of one another. But this is what I look at it. Every time there's something that's bad happening, there's always something good. This is possibly the first time a number of persons who's been working all of their lives have, although it's a stressful rest because they don't know what's going to happen next, but at the same time, it affords them an opportunity to dress and to spend time with family. That's why it's important that we're able to share and communicate with one another. Because like I said, the foundation of every relationship is communication, caring, and commitment.
All right. We thank our guest on today for that informative information. At this time, we want to give that our co-host come in. If you have any questions or comments or want to share any experience with our listeners on today, co-host.
Good evening. I tell you, I'm already really enjoying sitting here listening to Mr. Hayes share on the historical black relationships, and especially the foundational, which is the communication. One of the key things, anytime there's an issue or a problem in a marriage and there's a counseling that needs to be done, the very first thing, majority of the time, not all the time, that we find out is there is a break in communication. That is a very important part of the foundation of any relationship. When you break communication and nobody wants to talk anymore, nobody wants to say anything, we get so angry or so bitter, we stop communicating. That is a major issue in relationships. And most of the time, when you're able to tap into that issue and fix that issue and get the communication back up, you see the healing and the change starts to take place. Communication is vital in any relationship, sustaining or being able to stand or being able to grow, to advance. There must be communication. We're living in an age and a time where a lot of times sometimes it's not just the male, it's sometimes it's the female. They want you to think for them. No, open your mouth and speak. Tell them what you like and what you don't like. I've heard people even say in counseling sessions, well, he should know what I like. No, he shouldn't know what you like. You should know what you like, and you should share with him what you like, and vice versa. No one should have to be forced to think for you. So I think this is a very good topic, a good lesson, and definitely in the foundational statements he has shared about the communication. Because if you don't communicate, it's very difficult to start caring. And when you don't communicate and you don't care, there's not going to be a commitment. This is a great topic. Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank our co-host for her input on our topic for today. Remember, listeners, you are still tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doris Smith, and with our special guest on today. We're so excited to have Mr. Larry Hayes, and his topic for today is historical black relationships. Yes, listeners, we are discussing relationships on today. Facts, motivation, values, and feelings. Mr. Hayes, I have a couple of questions I would like to ask you, and I think you might have covered some of it in your on while you were doing your emphasis on the scene. But I would like to ask you, what impacts the majority of the black relationships today? What impacts the most of our majority of them?
Well, I think the one of the major concerns is this, that we historically have been taught that they have a whole lot of I call them cultural diversity. When we talk about cultural diversity, we talk cultural differences, and we tend to feel that people tend to think the same way that we do. And what skewed it, because we were impacted and still are impacted by the trauma that our ancestors experienced during slavery, where we were told we can't trust one another, that we were separated by language, by color, by height, by what they said was what was our the persons who enslaved us felt was to keep us separated, made certain that they were protected and made certain that we couldn't communicate with one another in a way that would form any type of organization. So we were told that we can't collaborate, we can't work together. We were forced into here in New Orleans and throughout the state of Louisiana, we were forced to practice a religion that was given to us, Christianity, but mainly Catholicism. Here in this city, at St. Augustine's Church in May, there's still the chain of slaves, you know, the chains and the shackles that were used upon our ancestors are still on the side of the building. I guess it's a healthy reminder to some. The other piece that we had to always fashion in is this. One of the things that we one of the urges or needs of every man is peace. But if you're under control of others and not own your own body, and you didn't own your own body, you never know, because there were such dire circumstances. And fear has been one of the major motivators for black people here in this country. If you look at definitely diaspora, because the thing that we have to deal with is this. We were lynched if we attempted to vote. We were killed if we attempted to run. And then there's always a public display where mothers who were pregnant, they would feel the infant, the fetus would feel within them the fear that the mother, as they watched their child or someone else's child, head being slammed against a stone, cut up into pieces, and used to fish with, used as fish bait to catch fish, because someone successfully ran away and successfully ran away from slavery. So fear has been a major motivator for black people here in America and throughout the whole diaspora and throughout the world. So if we didn't read it from that perspective and we didn't own our own bodies, our minds couldn't help but to be twisted. And if our minds are twisted, we need to have our minds realigned. And we can only realign our minds by pain that's within us, that we've been told that everything's going to be all right and I could work through it. But therapy simply means to remember, how did I get to where I am today?
Okay, the next question, I think you have covered some of it, but I wanted to ask you was that how can one heal and move forward within their relationship based on some of the things that you said the majority, that impacts the majority of relationships today, and not thinking on slavery type, thinking of the world today, the society that we live in today, the generation today and the generations to come. What would, you know, impact those black relationships? And at the same time, I think you covered some of that, but I want to talk about today's generation and a lot of our relationships out there today. It's not maybe they may not be based on the historical relationships, but the next question I have in mind, it can explain some of it to our listeners. How can one heal and move forward within their relationships? That, for instance, if they are having fear in their relationships, or they having doubts, or if one they have lack of communication, I'm not going to go into the next thing I have in mind because I have a question to ask based on that. But can you give us a short, brief statement on how can one heal and move forward within their relationships today?
I think that there's only two ways that one could think, and that's positive or negative. You know, we could look at all different type of rationales that we have, but if we're thinking negative, it tends to have a definite effect upon our perception, how we see things. You know, and perception is nothing more than what we hear and what we see. And I think it's important that we take the time to listen to others without basing what we're hearing off of our own perception from our past and whatever we've gone through in our lives.
Thank you. And I'm going to add prayer. Prayer is the center of any obstacles that stands in our life. I believe that prayer changes things in any relationship, and we have to add God to this equation on today because he's the center of our lives. And that's my hope and my belief that all relationships can pray together and seek our space with whatever situation they're going through or whatever stands in their way of happiness. And the next question I have for you today is, what's the difference between a married relationship and a single relationship? What is the difference there that causes so much problems with the black relationships today?
I think the marriage means commitment. And we tend to involve ourselves in relationships for a few of the reasons, I think. For procreation, boost our self-esteem, to have someone who chose or we chose to be in a relationship with. It lends itself to stability. The other is we could move past being lonely if we have a partner that we could depend upon and someone who looks to us and have placed their confidence in us. The other piece is it has a tendency to bring about peace if we are in a marriage or in a wholesome relationship. And it also gives us the power to meet the challenges of life and have a partner to join us in this. It helps with, gives us order in our lives. It tends to give us some sense of freedom and joy. And also, it shows that we could care for others and others could care for us. And it's also, when you talk about faith and the power of healing, when it's a natural urge to have a proof of divinity laws of man's destiny, meaning that we need to have some type of psychological support that comes from prayer and for being a part of a group that's in harmony with one another and comes together to pray and to deal with the celebration and the birth of life.
Thank you, thank you. You are still tuned in to Facing Your Fears Radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, Pastor Doris Smith. And yes, today's topic is historical black relationships, and we're talking about the relationships in the world today versus relationships that was in the past and with our ancestors. We're talking about the facts of relationships today, what motivates them, the motivations of relationships, the values of relationships, and our feelings that's connected with our relationship. All right, I have two more questions for you, and then I am going to let you continue with your discussion on today, and we're going to hear shortly for our co-host to come back in case she has any questions she has prepared to is preparing to ask you on today. The next question, do you think that people today, today's society, today's generation still base their relationships on their parents' or ancestors' relationship? That's what, because I heard you say, and when you were talking about how we were shackled down and we brought over on the boat, and then how our ancestors was taught by slaves and as being slaves, they wasn't able to communicate and share love the way that they wanted to, because and then at some time, in most cases, they were separated. After they were married, they were sold to another owner, and they weren't able to raise their children together. You know, do you think that some of the relationships today and some of the people still base their relationships on yesterday's relationship in reference to their parents and their ancestors?
I think that when we're talking about up until the divorce was not a part of black relationships. We stayed married. I know many of persons who were born in the 40s, 50s, 60s, they lived in a two-parent household, and they were educated. They were educated by the schools that they walked to in their neighborhoods. They tend to be very steady, and they had a parent who fixed breakfast for them in the morning, and they were not broken up, and divorce was not a part of the culture of the black community. I think the thing that has happened today, I use this term that being vulnerable is the most courageous thing that we can be in our lives. But the thing that we deal with is this: it takes courage to be vulnerable. We have gone to a position that we can't trust one another, and we'll tend to deal with these things that I find within a marriage. The variables that have to be negotiated within a marriage are money, in-laws, child-rearing, communication, and sex. We have to negotiate those things. Or in a relationship, period. If we're in an intimate relationship, we have to negotiate money, in-laws, child-rearing, communication, and sex. If we don't negotiate those things, we can't take for granted that my position is the same as yours. We come from the same culture. Are we black? So therefore, since we're black, then our culture should be the same. But that's not true, because we could live in grow up in the same neighborhood, live next door to one another, and still have different cultures. So I think it's important that we learn to negotiate. And when I say it's important that we are vulnerable, that vulnerability simply means that we are risking by sharing ourselves and having the courage to share who we are with the person that we're in a relationship with, and to talk about things that hurt us, things that makes us happy, things that brings us peace, and our need for order. But we tend to think that the person knows what we feel, and the person should know this or shouldn't that. But it's important that we trust one another. And, you know, it's a thing where relationships, and I put it this way, relationships are like having dice in your hand. You can shake them and shake them and shake them while they're in your hand. But when you turn them loose, you don't know what number they're coming up on. And that's the thing that we have to deal with within a relationship, trust.
Thank you very much. And my last and final question to you before turning it over to the co-host, and I want to still encourage our listeners out there. We should have many listeners on today's show. I want to encourage you to tune in and join in and share your experience and ask questions. And we want to hear from you out there. If you have any comments in reference to today's topic, feel free to press that number one on your phone. And at that time, I'll bring you to the studio. You can talk directly to our special guest, Mr. Larry Haynes, or any questions you may have for me, for myself, and our co-host. All right, listeners, now you have it. We have had so much informative information coming from our special guest on today in reference to relationships, facts, motivation, values, and feelings. The last and final question I have for my special guest, for our special guest on today, is can you share with us anything on domestic violence relationships? What impact do relationships in reference to domestic violence in today's society?
They're depending on what line of thought we come from, but there are five types of domestic violence. There's physical, verbal, financial, sexual, and emotional. And the thing that I find that's generally one of the major concerns within domestic violence relationships is our inability to separate ourselves from our feelings, meaning that the person that you maybe kiss goodbye to in the morning may not be the same person that comes home to you in the evening, given the stress level of all the demands that's being placed upon those persons as they move forward in throughout their day. When we talk about domestic violence, we tend to deal with it from a perspective that as long as I don't hit them, it's not domestic. But at the same time, when we still bring into our adult life, some of the same stuff that we were told when we were children. If somebody hits you, hit them back. And that translates to if somebody hurts you, hurt them back. And the other piece we've think about from this perspective, this is the example of domestic violence where a child runs home out of fear of getting beat up by some other child. So he runs home, runs inside, and his mother or father sends him back outside to face and fight the person that he ran away from. Now, what then happens is the child can't come home anymore. He knows that he can't come home for safety. He also realizes that he can't trust coming home and asking for some type of moral support and safety. And he becomes a liar, and he doesn't trust the person that sends him back outside to fight the person who he's running away from in an attempt to keep him being perpetrated upon. Now, the thing with domestic violence is this. We oftentimes bring our past into our present relationship. If we deal with someone who's been a victim of domestic violence, and they break away from the person that victimized them, the new person has to realize that there's a strong possibility that the same hurt, pain, and certain issues and trauma that they had in the past relationship, they're going to bring that whole relationship into the new one if we don't have the courage to be vulnerable enough to listen and the courage to be vulnerable enough to share how we feel and trust in the person that we chose to be our partner. But oftentimes we don't successfully go through the casual part of a relationship. We just jump right into some form of intimacy or and overlook other stages of the relationship and feel that this is my partner and there's definitely committed love here, but overlook getting really to get to know the person before we engage them and bring them into our lives and call them our mates.
All right. Ms. Therapy, we want to thank our special guest on today. We do have a caller that wants have called in and wants to share something with us at this time. It's getting late in the show. We do want to bring our callers in. And callers, remember, you too can join. You have time to join in on this awesome conversation on today in reference to historical black relationships. Now we're going to go to area code 305, last four digits of the number 8754, and we're going to bring them into the studio at this time. Hello, caller, you're on the air. Are you there, caller? You're on the air. Again, last call for our code 305. Last four digits of the phone number, 8754. Again, you are on the air. All right. We're going to continue with our conversation with our special guest on today. Callers, if you do not wish to say anything, please do not press the number one on your phone because it indicates to me that you have something to say. Just don't press that number unless you have something to say.
You press one if you want to come in.
Okay, now I hear somebody talking in the background. We need to speak that at this time, either my co-host or the guest. All right, our listeners, we're still tuning in to Facing the Fears Radio Talk Show host tonight. My name is Norma Chapman with our awesome co-host, I am now in Florida, Pastor Doris Smith. At this time, I am going to hear, and Pastor Smith, we get late in the show, and we want to have time, we want to leave some time for any callers out there if they wish to say anything or comment or have any questions. I want to go back to that caller because I think he or she still has that number one question on their phone. This is my last call for them. Area code 305. Last four digits, 8754. Are you there, caller? You are on the air at this time. If you wish not to say anything, would you please take down the number one off of your phone so I won't constantly keep coming to you. You're on the air. 305. Area code 305. Last four digits, 8754. All right, we're going to hear now and go to our co-host. And our co-host, we only have a couple more minutes left in the show. If you have any questions to ask our special guest on today, I want to share any comments or maybe your thoughts about today's topic. Co-host.
Yes, I would like to ask a question. Such a great show, Mr. Hayes. Thank you for joining us this evening. Such a great show. The question that I have is, what would you say to the question of why many couples don't seek counseling when their marriage is in trouble, speaking historically of black relationships? Why is it that, and I have, you know, had some experiences in counseling with why they've told me they haven't, but I want to ask you today, what would you say? Why is it that they would sit in a marriage that they know they're in trouble and won't seek counseling?
I think because of the negative connotations and the stereotypes that historically has been part of being black here in America, I think that up until the, for sure, there was a big move in the late 60s and 70s for blacks to become social workers. The other piece is this, the historical piece is that if you sit, you go into therapy, there's something wrong with your mental. And mental persons tend to feel that if they can't fix it themselves, then they don't need to get someone else to fix it for them. The other thing is this, oftentimes, I want to share this, coming from New Orleans and with the New Orleans culture, they brought a number of therapists here to the city who are totally unfamiliar with the dialect, the culture of New Orleans. And consequently, what happened was here in New Orleans, and I think black people across the country, I spoke all across the country, and I find that when we say we should have followed our first mind. Just taken as this person hallucinating, and they were immediately placed on medication and put in Southeastern Mental Health Hospital.
Wow.
It's a thing where if we don't know the culture of the person that you're treating, then you should not treat the person. That's just my theory, but that's not something that's done. I think people, some persons tend to feel that they could treat whomever comes and sit in their chair. And they do a big injustice because they're totally ill-informed, and they're dealing with it from a perspective of certain privileges that they think they have because of who they are, and just treat persons, and they have little or no knowledge of the culture of the person that they treat. And historically, one of the major concerns that if you don't know the culture, we are often wrongly diagnosed. You know, our children were often ADHD. That was the label, the attention deficit disorder with hyperactivity. And instead of adjustment disorder, which could have been something that they didn't have to take any medication from, but in the United States, the organizations that are trillion-dollar industries are pharmaceutical companies, schools, charter schools, and the prison industry. So we're always going to be highly represented there.
Yes. Okay. I have one
all
more
right,
question
cool.
that I would like to ask.
Very, very short because it's getting short and it's short and we want to move forward. Go ahead, folks.
Okay, I have one more question for him. Thank you so much. This one is, would you agree or would you say that it's generational when a person is suffering in silence in their relationship and for the sake of I guess not exposing what they're going through. They suffer in silence for the sake of avoiding what might be unavoidable. They know they have an issue going on, but I guess whatever the issue is, what would you say to that? Is it generational? Well, my mom kept her marriage together and she didn't say anything and she went through this and she stayed in the marriage for 40 years. Well, I'll stay here too. And in a lot of cases, they're being abused, some type of abuse, physically, mentally, sexually, what have you. Would you say this is generational?
I think that if culture is learned behavior, and we learn from the families in which we come from how and what we should do within a relationship, and we also pick up from the families that we come from if it was abusive, we tend to learn what we don't want to do and spend a large part of our life trying to avoid dealing with certain things in an effort not to experience with the pain or suffering that we felt that our parents exhibited or went through. So, you know, it's like I said, it's intergenerational, yes, and also there's a thing called genetics that deals with we inherit in our DNA the pain, the trauma that our ancestors have gone through. So naturally, our balance won't be there because we're still dealing with the pain and suffering that that's generational.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we want to thank all the co-hosts and our session guests for that information. All right, we are getting ready in the show, and callers, you still have time to call. We're going to call that, press that number 1 on your phone if you're tuned in on today's show. If you have any questions, comments, or want to share just your experience or thoughts on today's topic, historical black relationships. As I scroll down, I don't see anyone else wants to say anything. The caller still has number 1 pressed on their phone. I've been to them 2 or 3 times to bring them into the studio. But we also want to say happy 1 year anniversary to Facing Your Fears radio talk show. God has blessed us to be on the radio in 1 year. And we want to thank all of our special guests that came on Facing Your Fear, our special guests for today. Before I continue, we do have another call. I want to hear because I want to get our callers in before I continue. All right, caller, Albert Cole, 941, last 4 digits of 1280. 941, Albert Cole, 1280. Caller, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, Pastor Norma, how are you?
We're blessed. We bless our listening, Mr. Steve from out of Tampa, Florida. How are you today?
I'm very good. I'm glad to be able to have caught your broadcast. I caught a little bit of it, and I had to pop off for a bit, but I've missed the last few weeks, and I know that I miss out when I do that. I'm just glad to be able to say hi, and I hope everybody is doing well. I know that we're facing some very difficult times these days, and the world is kind of transitioning on us, and I guess what I wanted to maybe say is that this is an opportunity to face our fears about what's going on in society and to recognize that, and this too shall pass, you know, together. I think that this is an opportunity for us really to come closer together and to shine a bright light in society and try and be, you know, the calm, the voice of reason within the storm. And so I just wanted to share that with everyone and let you know that I'm praying for everyone and hoping that that we'll get past this virus situation and be able to get back to work and carry on life as we have in the past.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Smith. And also I've been tuned into your talk show that comes on Facebook every day. And thank you for all of the prayers and all of the thoughts that you're giving out to our nation and nation. We want you to know that Facing the Fears prayers are with all of you. And yes, we are facing some perilous times, but we know that God is able. We know that He's still in control, and just continue to obey the authorities and follow the instructions on how you can stay safe. Okay, all right, listeners. I also want to announce that God, if the Lord bless. But I want to first continue to congratulate all our past guests who was on Facing the Fears Radio Talk Show. As I named the topic, you all knew who you were. That's today's guest topic, extraordinary black relationships. Also, people are listening, trusting God one day at a time. Rain without clouds, never. The sun will shine, and the sun will shine for our nation once again. My two Katrinas, and we had part one and part two of that guest was on Facing the Fears, Fighting From Within. We had part one and part two of that, Health and Wellness in 2020 and Beyond, The Coastal Walk with Almighty God, Renewing Our Lives in the Year of 2020. Is Christmas really Christmas to you? Power, People Living Powerless. And we also had part one and part two of Every Day of the Day to Give Thanks to God. And we had the power of being thankful, overcoming the spirit of fear, how to get your voice back after the abuse, life without nature, missions and vision, how to get what you want using the ASK method. We also had the topic and the special guest who talked on Survivor. We also had normal fidgeting, and we also had the gathering of the remnant. Keep your head above the water was one of the special guest topics. We also had facing yourself. We also had the truth about caretakers. How can NAACP help us as a youth? We also had on our show the guest who spoke on when we fight, we win. We also had on our show the guest talked about keep it moving. We had part one and part two of that. We also had get up, shut up, and show up. We also had remembering what God has brought you from. And remember that today, listeners, as we go through this trying time. We also had the transparency of raw and real. We also had the successful failure of charter schools. We also had reach out and touch someone loved by action. Why not be healthier? We also had the guest speaking on being prepared for the worst in case there's a hurricane. Also, we had how prepared are you? We also had does my life matter? We also had the guest speaking on when we are at war. We're coming from Ephesians 6, chapter 10 and 12, a nation, we are at war at this time. And we also had our special guest talking on changing your perspective. Part one and part two, we also had a guest speaking on love and loneliness. We also had the economic development. We also had our special guest talking on finding forgiveness in your heart. We also had a special guest speaking on families facing everyday fears with drug addictions. We also had communities fighting chemical companies. We also had, is there a doctor in the house, and trusting in God. And our last two give thanks to is the guest who spoke on how to survive and free yourself from a domestic violence lifestyle. And our very first show, which aired, was Victims Living in a Domestic Violence Environment. We want to give thanks to all of you who appeared the first year on Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, and we do pray and hope that you will continue to tune in to Facing Your Fears with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. I also want to let our listeners know to pray for me, that God will continue to bless me on tomorrow. I will be blessed with another birthday. And also I want to share with you, based on my book, What Faith Can Do, God will bless me to see 30 more years since that tragic day. And that was, if I'm blessed to see March the 30th, it will be 30 years, God added to my life after the tragic had happened to me with being shot twice in my liver, stabbed the inch from my heart. And I just want to thank all of you, and happy birthday to Facing Your Fears. And I do appreciate my co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. I love you so very much. You have been a blessing to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. As we continue, and God bless us to go into another year with Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show. Listeners, if you want to be a guest on Facing Your Fears, you are welcome, welcome, welcome. Just contact me, and I'm going to go down and give my information before the co-host and our guest. I think we dropped call again with our guest, Mr. Haynes, but if not, we will bring him back into the studio when he calls back in. But also, you can reach me at by emailing me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com with all the lowercase letters, norma_chapman@yahoo.com. Also, you can make an appointment on my Facebook page of Facing Your Fears, and also go to the page What Faith Can Do. You can contact me there. Reach out to me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Let me know you would like to be a guest on the show. We would be glad and blessed to have you on Facing Your Fears. Okay, we're going to year nine that our co-host, and I think we lost our special guest for today. We have another.
No, I'm still here.
Call.
I'm here.
You're still there? Okay.
No, he's still there, yeah.
We're going to year and let him get information on himself. If you care to call him or have any questions or comments that you want to share with him after the show, what is a good contact number for you, Mr. Larry?
Okay, my office number is 504-382-6538.
504. All right, we have time for our co-host to give our information, and then after your information closes out with our closing prayer. God bless you.
Praise God, praise God. I'd just like to take a moment to say that you all can connect with me on Facebook, Doris Smith. You can also connect with me on the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation through the Word of God and the power of prayer. We are on every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dial in 712-775-7031, access code 710-569 and the pound. We are also praying through every Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon, noonday prayer, every Wednesday at 12 noon on the same line. As a result of the coronavirus and the many things that people are suffering, we are availing ourselves to share words of encouragement, to inspire, to encourage, to uplift, to help through the power of prayer, to let that people will know that they can get through it. So many are saying, I don't think I can make it, but we're here to let them know, yes, you can. Yes, you can. With God, all things are possible. Thank you, and God bless you all. Stay safe. Walk in wisdom and stay safe.
God bless you. God bless you. Father God, we just want to thank you for another great opportunity that we shared on today to come on the radio and inspire and give inspiration to those that are needed out there in the world, how to face their fears and how to look to the hills who's come with their help. And I just want to say to the nation that and pray that God will continue to send out His healing power on those that are in the hospital, those that at home is afflicted and affected by this coronavirus. Also, we're praying for the families out there who lost their loved ones through the coronavirus virus, and that God will give courage and you continue to seek God's face and look to the hills, because He's the answer to all our problems. We do want to thank our special guest on today and thank God for him as well. Our special guest, Mr. Larry Haynes, Father God, continue to give him wisdom, knowledge, and most of all, understanding as he goes forward with his endeavors that he's doing here in the city of New Orleans and across the nation. God bless all of you. And again, I thank God for all of you. And may God have a blessing keep all of you. This is the end of our show for today. And thank everyone for tuning in. God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.